This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day in the United States. It is trader Nick. How are you doing, Nick?
Hey, Johnny. Good to be back with you.
I wanted to first ask you about the commodities market, because we're seeing commodities drift in addition to the oil price, which continues to fall. In fact, it's now at a level where we were before the war started in the Middle East. So much has happened since. It's 4 months ago, but we're back where we started. What is the reason behind that?
It's interesting, Johnny. We have commodities down today significantly. Meanwhile, yields are also down. And just to confuse everyone a bit more, the dollar is meanwhile up significantly. I think there's a combination here of a couple things going on. Equities yesterday sold off very hard from, actually the South Korean stock market was down at one point 10%. We have a lot of violent moves going on in just a time where a lot of people had kind of been starting to sigh of relief due to the Strait of Hormuz being back open. We know ships are now traversing through the Strait of Hormuz. Things are much improved in terms of just an absolute movement through the Strait. Perspective, which is great. Oil prices continue to move lower as a lot of supply is expected to come online. There's even kind of this joint operation to sell Iranian oil into the global markets, so that also helps to keep oil prices down. So they are moving down in a hurry. Where, as you pointed out, oil is back to pretty much where we started at the onset of the war. So if you recall, prior to the war, oil had already been on the rise from the lows of mid-50s for U.S. oil here. We're back to 70 or so a barrel, which is a substantial drop-off when we think about just a few months ago, we were talking about $120 oil. So it just goes to show commodities can be very, very volatile and are also very sensitive to a couple things. But yields lower, as well as oil lower, and commodities like gold and silver lower, as well as copper, kind of signals to me that there may be a little bit of worry here, Johnny, that the global economy might still take a little bit of a step back in response to the Strait of Hormuz closure that was, still has ramifications. It still has economic turmoil that it may cause for weeks and months to come, despite the opening back up of the Strait. What I mean by that is supply constraints. If you remember, COVID was a big supply constraint as well, right? It shut down a lot of the shipping lines, a lot of the oil and raw materials moving through the world's trade system were kind of grinded to a halt. And it caused uncertainty about the economy for many months to come after things had started to move again. I point that out because I think that that's a little bit of what's going on here. We have a little bit of jitters around the state of global markets. We also know, Japanese bonds, the Bank of Japan has been also intervening with their currency. That's a bit of a tightening factor on global markets. We have the dollar strengthening substantially, which shows a lot of investors may just be going into cash, especially after the commentary that we've heard from the new Fed chair, Kevin Warsh. We know that his commentary was alarmingly more hawkish than people had expected him to be. A lot of people had expected him to come in and say, we're going to basically rate cut, we're going to snip here and there, we're going to get rates down real quick. And the way he delivered it was very much to the contrary. It was, not a opportunity, or he didn't take the opportunity to be incredibly dovish. Instead, he kind of doubled down on the loyalty to the Fed and wanting to ensure that inflation meaningfully returns down into at least the twos. And while I think that is a possibility with oil dropping off so sharply here in combination with yields dropping off, the NASDAQ's lower here today, the S&P 500. To me, this smells a little bit more of some concerns about global economic activity, even more so than just inflation. It's made evident, I think, by bond yields moving lower at the same time that the dollar is moving higher. And then, not to undermine how important today's move in precious metals are, Johnny, we're down. If you remember, at the beginning of this year, we were looking back on a 12-month span that was unbelievable for gold. gold in 2025, just pulling up the numbers here, went from roughly below 3,000, let's call it 2,750, all the way up to, at its peak in January of this year, $5,600 an ounce. It had a legendary run to the upside and has since given back a substantial amount of those gains. Now we're trading at $4,000 an ounce. So we've seen a substantial drop off in precious metals following what looks to be a Federal Reserve that is no longer talking about rate cuts, but rather talking about rate hikes.
And you've mentioned that the dollar is on the rise due to that fairly hawkish comment from Mr. Warsh. But having said that, though, Nick, it's over a week ago now. Since then, we've seen, as you've rightly pointed out, the oil price has really come down. So inflationary pressures are certainly lower than they were when Mr. Warsh was speaking. Do you not think that it's slightly confusing the way the dollar is reacting at the moment, particularly when we have a problem potentially with global growth and so on? Is it because the global growth is more concerned outside the USA rather than inside?
I think you've mapped that out really well, that last part you said. I think that is kind of the candidate here. I'll read off a couple numbers here I've got in front of me, Johnny, that I think might help to answer the question here. Because you've properly pointed out that the geopolitical side of the dollar rally, I think, has faded. Like, I think that the concern about the Middle East, that seems to have faded to a certain extent, at least for now. And so that story, which was rallying the dollar, I think has played out. What has come since, not just from Fed commentary, but also in some of the economic data that we've seen, is stark outperformance in the U.S. economy. I know, big surprise there, that has been the theme for several years now, where the U.S. economy just keeps showing resiliency. And I think all the data center build out is a big chunk of the reason. But here's a couple stats that I've got in front of me. Manufacturing PMIs beat expectations. Services PMIs beat expectations. Retail sales beat expectations. Consumer confidence beat expectations. Producer price index was higher than expected. The two-year yield is trending higher. The non-farm payroll doubled expectations. ADP employment change was also better than expected. And JOLTS job openings were substantially higher than expected. I was able to rattle off that real quick because I've got it all in front of me here. But for listeners, what we basically just said is that a lot of the economic metrics have been beating expectations. Meanwhile, to your point, other places may not be seeing that same economic resiliency. And I think that that story of U.S. capital markets, we know the SpaceX IPO and all the data center buildouts and this AI hype that is going on, whether you believe it to be a bubble or sustainable or not, in the here and now, there is real spending, real investment that is driving economic activity in the United States. And that's really been the story since we bottomed in 2022. It's been all this AI hype and money just getting injected into U.S. markets that I think continues to make the dollar look relatively attractive. Now, again, whether that story lasts for another 3 years is anyone's guess. It's a difficult thing to sort of predict. But I do think that that plays a big role in some of the dollar strength, is economic kind of centralism around the U.S. seems to be strengthening.
And of course, Nick, we'll speak again on Friday and reflect what we're going to get tomorrow, which is the latest GDP and PCE numbers, which, going back to what we were saying with Kevin Warsh, and will be quite significant going forward.
I think the PCE numbers from an economic data perspective this week will probably be the most important, simply because, as you pointed out, the Fed is very keyed in on PCE. It's what they've deemed their preferred inflation measurement as it studies personal consumption, right? So the consumer's ability to afford things. Final GDP numbers also come out tomorrow. So we have some huge economic data that I think will be heavily anticipated by the Fed and hence the market itself. So busy rest of the week. And of course, we'll follow up on Friday.
Excellent stuff. We'll speak on Friday. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Johnny.
This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.